And we are live.
Thank you, Ms. Walston. Good morning. I'm Susan Drummond, Kitsap County Hearing Examiner. Today is March 11, 2021, Thursday, 9 a.m. We have just one item on the agenda. This is a request for a critical areas variance and zoning variance, matter number 20-03840. The order of procedure on this will be as follows. We'll hear first from the planning department. The department will provide a summary of the proposal. And I have received the staff report and the accompanying exhibits 1 through 16, and taken a look at those, so I'm familiar with the proposal. Following the department summary, we'll hear from the applicant, and then we'll open this up for public comment. And if there's anyone who has called in or signed on online, you may comment on this proposal. And then if there are any questions or concerns which arise from comments, the applicant will have an opportunity to address those. On these remote hearings, I've been keeping the record open for a week. Kind of the standard under our emergency rule is through Thursday, March 18, close of business, so 5 p.m. And any comments would be submitted to Ms. Walston, and she will forward those on to me. And then a decision is out for me within 10 business days of the close of the record. So unless there are any procedural questions, we'll go ahead and get started. All right, hearing none. Mr. Poff, looks like you are presenting for the department this morning. Is that correct?
Yes, I will.
Okay, let me swear you in. You could state your name for the record.
Colin Poff.
And you swear or affirm under penalty of perjury to tell the truth under the laws of the state of Washington?
I do.
Thank you.
Thank you, Amanda. Okay, so I'll go ahead and get started with presenting this project. So, my name is Colin Poff. I'm a planner with Department of Community Development with Kitsap County, and I was a lead on this project review. This is the Lambro 50% buffer reduction. So the proposal is for two things, a critical area variance and a zoning variance. The critical area variance being a variance to the standard buffer, wetland buffer setback, and the zoning variance being a 50% reduction to the standard front setback. So the applicant is proposing to build a new single family home on this property under a separate permit approval. And that's pending the approval of this critical area and zoning variance. The property is actually two undeveloped properties that are both just under 5 acres in size, so 9.9 acres total. The property address is 9193 Northeast Country Woods Lane, Kingston. And because the variance request is greater than 25% reduction and less than 50%, the type 3 approval is required for this variance with approval by the hearing examiner. So to begin the presentation, you mentioned the exhibits. So I want to enter those into the record.
Those are admitted 1 through 16.
Great. And this presentation will just go over some, but not all of those, go over the facts of the proposal in our review, some of the regulatory requirements and our analysis. So again, this is the Lambro 50% buffer reduction. The applicant is here today. It's Lambro Properties LLC. The agent listed on the property is Joanne Bartlett with Ecoland Services, which I believe may also be here today. This application was determined to be complete on October 8th of 2020, and a notice of application was issued on November 10th, 2020. And that notice of application goes out to neighbors, some agencies. It's also posted in the Kitsap Sun. We didn't receive any comments during the comment period, so we don't have a comment response log to summarize or anything like that. This project is exempt from CEPA environmental review as a land use decision for variance that's a CEPA exemption. So on the next slide, again, I'll reiterate what the proposal actually is. It's two-prong. The first is to reduce the standard wetland buffer by 50% from the standard 110 feet down to 55 feet. And the structure setback from that buffer of 15 feet to 7.5 feet. The second part is to reduce the standard front setback by 50% from 50 feet to 25 feet and 4 inches. And the two are related because the front setback reduction is in order to create enough buildable area away from the wetland. So that's why they're presented and analyzed together and presented together here today. I'll give a little project background. Perhaps the applicant will have more here. As far as I understand it, a building permit was in review in 2008 on this property. It was never constructed. So in that area where the building permit was, there was about 4,000 square feet of clearing in the northeast corner to install a well. So there's a small cleared area there. And this proposal is generally in the same location, same kind of footprint of where that home was supposed to be in that northeast corner. So Lambro Properties purchased the property. They applied for a building permit in 2019. After some time, that was returned and put on hold, citing the need for a critical variance in order to proceed. The next slide, just to give you an idea of where this is in Commissioner District 1 in North Kitsap, northwest of the Kingston area. And on the next slide, you'll see the zoning map. The zoning is rural protection, RP, and it's in generally in an area surrounded by RP. There's RW to the south and east. Those are largely undeveloped properties. There's a large state agency land property there in the RW zoning, kind of to the southeast. The next slide is the aerial imagery. So this shows that the surrounding area, quite wooded. Surrounding properties are rural in nature, low density residential. So there's some sporadic low density residential development to the north and surrounding property. However, the property to the south and east is largely undeveloped. So according to the Kitsap County Assessor, this is a 9.92 acre property. You can faintly see a property line between the two triangular shaped properties. So those are 2 5-acre properties. And so again, this is a proposal for developing on the northeast property, but the proposal, it considers both properties and is both owned by Lambro. So it's a heavily wooded site. It's generally bowl shaped with some steep slopes in the north and western edges, has low points in the south and the east. And then again, there's that small area of clearing in the northeast and existing driveway there as well. This is at 9193 Northeast Country Woods Lane. So the next slide is just our critical areas map from our end, showing that clearly there's a large wetland on site with an associated stream. The dotted black line is an unnamed hydraulic feature. So that is a type NS stream. And the pink area is what's called erosion hazard area, which indicates soils or slopes that would make that erosion hazard area. The next slide is just a table, so showing what those critical areas actually are. The main one in question here is wetland A, which is that large one in the middle of the property. It's a category 3 wetland, has a standard 110 foot buffer. And the proposed impact to that is to reduce a portion of it from 110 feet to 55 feet. So it's a total of 9,399 square feet in total buffer reduction. There's no impacts to the wetland itself, just to the reduction in the wetland buffer. And there's also wetland B and wetland C, which are type 4, smaller wetlands with 40 foot buffers. And then that unnamed stream, it's a type NS stream with a standard 50 foot buffer. So next slide, you'll see those shown here, the large wetland A covering the majority of the property. The yellow line is the standard 110 foot buffer going to the northeast and to the northwest. Yeah, you can also see the blue stream there and the small wetland A, B and wetland C, a lot of wetland C being offsite. And those buffers are encompassed by the wetland A buffer. So that's why wetland A is kind of what we're discussing here today. The next one, kind of the same image here. This is a site plan in the wetland report. So you can see those again, those critical areas, but you can also see some of the existing and proposed improvements as well. So in the northeast corner, you'll see the footprint of the proposed house. It's within that red area, which is the proposed area of buffer reduction. You'll see that there's an existing driveway there and a 4,000 square foot cleared area there, just right on the corner of the property. There's the existing wellhead as well next to that. Might be a little difficult to see. And also on the northwest portion, an approved drain field and reserve. So that got health approval. And the reason it's there is because of the constrained site. That's the other upland portion of the site. The rest is really not really encumbered by wetlands. So what you see here are the two kind of upland areas. Also worth noting, the black dotted area is shown as existing trail. So the driveway extends to the west and turns into more of a trail, a footpath, I suppose, that crosses the type NS stream with a culvert that was already approved with a hydraulic project approval from Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife. The next slide, another site plan showing the footprint of the home. Just wanna show that the east property line is considered the front in this case. So that's why it has a 50-foot standard setback in the RP zone. And you can see that they're intruding into that, proposing a 25-foot and 4-inch setback on the east. The next slide, I'm going to come back to this, but I just want to show the exhibit that shows the preservation area. So this will give us an idea of the proposal, but again, I'll discuss it later, but it shows the area that's actually upland there in the northeast corner. It's a very small hatched area, and another hatched area showing the buffer reduction. And if you look in the northwest corner, you'll see another hatched area showing what's proposed as preservation area. And it covers this parcel as well as the other parcel as well. So on the next slide, I'll discuss a little bit of the regulatory element of this, regulatory requirements. Starting with our comprehensive plan, there's many policies and goals that could relate to this. I'll read just a couple. So start with the land use policy from our land use element is to limit the designated rural area to low residential densities that can be sustained by minimal infrastructure improvements, cause minimal environmental degradation, and that will not cumulatively create future necessity or expectations of urban levels of service. An environmental policy that's related to this is compensatory mitigation shall be the last option of resort in mitigation sequencing, following documentation of avoidance and minimization of any impact to the natural environment that triggers compensatory mitigation. Replacement of altered or displaced natural environments, including critical areas and buffers, must be mitigated on site within the watershed or service area as defined through an approved mitigation bank or INLUFI program. On the next slide, just following up with, with that environmental policy, as stated as well in Title 19, which is our critical areas ordinance, the project needs to follow mitigation sequencing. So they did submit a wetland report. And in that report, it does address mitigation sequencing, addresses avoidance, and provided minimization measures. So they provided a discussion of avoidance to the extent feasible. So the inability to provide wetland buffer averaging or do this project through a 25% administrative reduction created the need for the critical areas variance. They provided various minimization measures. A couple listed were using the cleared area in the northeast corner of the lot, reducing the front yard setback to the maximum extent possible in order to minimize the buffer reduction that was requested, using a cleared area in the east, or excuse me, the west of the home for equipment and material staging, and then utilizing the existing driveway and path over that culvert in order to access the proposed drain field. And so that would be for access during construction and periodic maintenance, but that path would then be used for walking and just enjoyment of the property. So in the plan, as it's presented, there's a, due to a lack of opportunities to enhance existing buffers, they're proposing this preservation area. So the property is 6.52 acres of wetland and 2.46 acres of buffer in healthy condition. And it may be that a preservation area is a more effective option than buffer enhancement because there are not those opportunities to enhance the buffer. Instead, preservation as proposed would alleviate development pressure in that northwest, the other upland, only other upland area on the property. And as proposed and as conditioned by this permit, that preservation area would include a notice to title as well for that upland area to be a preservation area. In addition, they would have wetland signage and a split rail fence. So wetland signage for the standard wetland buffer, as well as the preservation area and a split rail fence for that area. On the next slide, I'll go back to this this exhibit here, again showing the preservation area. So as I've mentioned, that upland area in the northeast is only 2,056 square feet. And so they're proposing the other hatched area of a buffer reduction of 9,399 square feet. The compensation for that being the preservation area, which is 37,041 square feet in the northwest, again, covering two parcels, albeit a difficult area to develop. This preservation area would eliminate some of the development pressures that could cause further impacts, for example, increased infrastructure improvements or just impacts to the buffer, utilities, and things such as that. On the next slide, we have to discuss the critical area variance criteria that this is reviewed against. So the first slide is critical area variance criteria. The next one would be the zoning variance criteria. But if you go back, I'll just start with the critical area variance criteria. In the staff report, this is analyzed in detail in section 10I. So I won't, go over it in all that detail, but Kitsap County Code 19200-220B3 does say that in cases where proposed development cannot meet the administrative buffer reduction criteria described in the section, a variance shall be required as described in 19100-135. So they did not have an opportunity to wetland buffer averaging or do a 25% administrative buffer reduction. So they followed this 19100-135 to do the 50% reduction. So critical areas criteria, there are six of them, that the variance is due to special circumstances applicable to the property, that the circumstances are not the actions of the current or previous owner, that the variance will not result in substantial detrimental impacts to the critical area, public welfare, and is consistent with the goals, policies, and purposes of Title 19, which is our critical area ordinance, that the variance is the minimum necessary, that there are no practicable or reasonable alternatives that exist, and that a mitigation plan is submitted and approved, including mitigation sequencing. So they included the mitigation sequencing and proposed preservation areas. So we did review and responded to, as well as the applicant responded to, this critical area variance criteria. We do see the need for the variance. We see that it's the minimum necessary in order to support this development, and that this single family development in this area is a preferred option to potentially other options or alternatives of development on the site. The next slide is the zoning variance criteria. Has very similar language. The analysis would be similar between the two, but it is also kind of a separate review in a way. This is in 17, so Title 17 is our zoning code, 17560010. A variance may be granted to any numerical standard of this title, excluding housing density, only when unusual circumstances related to the property cause undue hardship in the application of this title. The granting of such a variance shall be in the public interest. So this zoom in here shows the standard 50-foot setback. This is a standard rule setback for our front property lines in the east. Because the driveway comes in from the east, that is the property line. And the variance criteria that we reviewed against include, due to special circumstances applicable to the property, the variance is needed. Such variance is necessary for preservation and enjoyment of a substantial property right enjoyed by others in the vicinity. Will not be materially detrimental to the public welfare or injurious to the property in vicinity. And the variance is the minimum necessary. So reviewing against that, again, we have a lot of detail in the staff report. Generally, using the maximum 50% variance does potentially reduce the need to have a greater wetland buffer, which a greater than 50% wetland buffer could not be supported, 50% being the maximum under this variance. Moving on to the last slide here. So in conclusion, we reviewed the wetland report, the geotechnical report, and all of the submittals. We found the project to be consistent with the comprehensive plan, be consistent with the zoning standards for the RP or rural protection zone in Title 17. And under the variance criteria, we found that it met the criteria for a critical variance area variance in Kitsap County Code 19100-135, and that it met the criteria for a zoning variance in 17560010. So with that analysis, the Department of Community Development recommends approval of the two variances with the 14 conditions that you can see in the staff report. And that would include the presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Poff. I do not have any questions for you. The applicant online?
It should be.
Who am I looking for? Ms. Parsons?
Either Mike.
Lambro.
Either Mike? Lambro or Aaron, yeah.
There we go. All right. Mr. Lambro, you should be able to unmute yourself at this point.
Got it. Can you hear me?
Good Great. Morning, Mr. Lambro. Are you presenting for the applicant this morning?
I am the applicant, yes.
Oh, okay. If I could swear you in, if you could state your name for the record.
Mike Lambro.
And you swear or affirm to tell the truth under penalty of perjury under the laws of the state of Washington?
Yes.
Is there anything that you wanted to add to the planning department's summary of your proposal?
No, I think Colin did a good job there. Pretty much got everything.
All right. Well, I do not have questions for you. Well, I do have one question. I just wanted to check to make sure you didn't have any concerns or questions on the proposed conditions in the staff report, conditions 1 through 14.
I don't. The only one that maybe was a question was, the signage.
Which number is that?
It's the signage for every 50 feet for the critical area. For the Colin, the only thing I had my question on that was, are we going to go all the way around the whole, or just the preservation area?
And Mr. Poth, if you want to, is that your only question, Mr. Lambro, or you had another one?
That's my only question.
Oh, okay. Mr. Poff, you know, if you want to go ahead and address that, you may do so.
Yeah, wetland signage should include the preservation area, but also would delineate the wetland, since you're doing averaging, delineate the actual wetland itself. So where it's 55 feet as opposed to where it's 100 feet. It may not be that it's necessary to do every 50 feet. I know that's the standard condition. So we can talk about what makes sense as a large site, what makes sense for the site for wetland signage. But to answer your question, yes, it needs to kind of cover the entire area.
And the signage does say approximately, I mean, the language in condition 6 does say approximately, so it looks like there's some leeway there.
Yeah, generally there is some flexibility there, yeah.
Right. Mr. Lambert, does that address your question?
Yes.
Okay, all right. Anything further from you this morning?
I think that's it. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Mr. Lambro. So at this point, we'll open this up for public comment. Is there anyone who has called in or signed in via the video link who would like to provide comment on this proposal?
I do have Mr. Murphy, I believe, that has his hand raised, so I will move him over just 1 second.
Okay.
All right, Mr. Murphy, you should be able to unmute.
Good morning. Thanks for having us this morning. My name is Aaron Murphy, for the record. Go ahead if you'd like. Sorry, Commissioner.
Yeah, no. Thank you. You've stated your name, but if do you swear or affirm to tell the truth under penalty of perjury under the laws of the state of Washington?
I do, Ms. Drummond.
Thank you.
Yeah. I'm the architect on the project.
And okay. So you're with the applicant then.
And hopefully Joanne is here as well with the wetlands group that did the delineation and documentation in that regard. First, just want to say thank you to Colin for putting a great and clear presentation together that made sense. My only question is actually asking for expertise and your opportunity to educate us as the general public. Also, I guess I speak with one other hat on as the one of the North Kitsap planning commissioners. So the question is very much educational. So with Mr. Lambro's southwest property triangle being encumbered by the need, so to speak, of labeling that one buildable area, as the sort of overflow and fixing of what's happening on the northeast property, what does that do to the property owner as far as the valuation of his land, having to borrow his adjacent property to meet the needs of the other one?
So this is not a Q&A, and it sounds like really your question is almost like a policy one, in terms of, right now there's a variance request to allow kind of what's before me is to allow the development to proceed by reducing both the zoning and the critical area variances. Sounds like really what you're asking is kind of a larger question about code structuring. And if so, in terms of what would and wouldn't, you know, what you can do on your property. And if that's a larger question on code structuring, that's a policy matter. And I don't have any authority over kind of county policy in terms of what the regulations provide.
I can retract because I know we're having a site specific discussion.
Okay. But yeah, no, I understand the concern. It's just the only matters before me as the project specific one. Is there anything further that you wanted to add?
No, ma'am. Thanks for having us.
Okay. Let's see. So was there anyone else from the public who wanted to testify on this proposal?
I'm not seeing any other attendees' hands raised. If there is anyone, go ahead and just click that icon and I can pull you over real quick. I'm not seeing anything, so.
Yeah, I do not see anyone else who has raised their hands. As noted, I'll be keeping the record open for another week on this per our remote hearing emergency rule. So through Thursday, March 18th, 5 p.m., any comments should go to Ms. Walston. I do not have any further questions from either the applicant or Mr. Puff. Is there anything further that either the applicant or the department wanted to bring to my attention?
I don't have anything.
Okay. And I assume Mr. Lambrow, nothing further from you either.
Sorry, no, thank you for your time. Okay.
Yes. And I as I noted, I'll issue a decision within 10 business days at the close of the record, and I'll wait till the record closes before making a decision. But I do not see any consistency issues with the code requirements for a variance, but I'll wait to see if there's what comes in public comment wise. Into the record. So I think that's it. Ms. Walston, is there anything else that I need to address this morning?
Mr. Lambrow raised his, there we go.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I have one more question, kind of now that we got to this point here. Just to bring this up, I know this has taken a long time and I believe my building permit will expire, I believe May 1st. So I know that that gives us some time, but does anybody see after 10 days here, no other public comment, that you're going to approve it this way? Will that now then after those 10 days and you know, kind of immediately turn into building approval, or is there any type of extension that I would need to ask for?
So my decision is effective upon issuance. There is an appeal period, 21-day clock on that under the Land Use Petition Act. So technically, until you have a final and appealed decision, you know, there is that sort of risk out there. But you do have the final decision from me once that decision comes out. I don't know if that answers you. It sounds like there's a time frame, so it would be appreciated to have the decision sooner rather than later. So I appreciate the note on that. Does that answer your question?
In terms of approval, I don't want to have something expire and then start it.
Check in with the building department on that. I don't think I wouldn't be the right person to ask about that, but check in with the building department on timing and so forth. And I do know it sounds like that it would be helpful to have the decision out as soon as possible after the record closes, ask the building department and also Mr. Poth, you can touch base with him as well.
Yeah, I'll touch base with you, Mike. I mean, generally speaking, as you know, the building permit was in a couple of cycles of review already. And so it's pending this decision. And then if the plans from this are any different at all from the building permit, those would need to be uploaded with the building permit as well as the notice to title. But generally speaking, it's been in review for a while and should be, so to speak, kind of more the top of the list to for the reviewers to be pinged to finish that building permit. So, but I'll touch base with you on the timing of all that.
I have currently my lawyer, Matt Lynn. He is working on notice to title right now.
Great.
So some of those questions are a little bit outside of my purview, but so I'll ask, if there are any follow-up on that, Mr. Lambrow, you can work with Mr. Poff and all the building department to make sure everything goes smoothly. Yeah. I think that's it. Anything further from either of the parties? Or Ms. Walston, is there anything I need to address this morning? Anything else?
I think you've covered everything.
Okay. All right. Thank you all for your participation this morning. We are adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you.